Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And we are short one guest from our typical format, and that's because we are interviewing Katie today.
That's right. I am here with not only a recommendation, but a series of recommendations.
Yes.
So, luckily, all in the same series.
And this series in question is The Murderbot Diaries.
The Murderbot Diaries,
which
yes.
I did a little bit of reading before we got on the show. They are novellas, correct?
The first four of them are novellas, and the most recent one is a full-length novel. It's their first full-length novel in the series. I was actually very worried that because the format had changed that I wouldn't like them as much, but just as good, so don't worry about that.
And when did the last one come out?
It is a recent publication. I would say probably in the last few months. It's definitely 2020, though.
Now, novellas are kind of hard to publish. Did they start as, like, independently published stuff?
No. She had actually, I believe, written a few things before, either under her own name or a pen name. I can't remember if she is one of the other sci-fi authors that wrote with a pen name. But it wasn't her first publication. But even so, it's still a strange concept, like for like a series of novellas.
Yeah.
Because I think it was always meant to be a series. It doesn't feel tacked on at all. But the idea of waiting and only publishing like 140 pages at a time, basically, of a book feels very like Arthur Conan Doyle-esque, like when
yes,
things were published serially. But it really works for the story because you're following a security bot, a sec unit, as he kind of discovers freedom. He's already hacked the system that modulates his behavior, but he's still pretending like it's in place because he doesn't really know what to do. Like, in theory, he could just run off and murder everybody if
right.
he wanted to. But he finds comfort a little bit in knowing what his job is and what he's expected to do and not having to really interact with humans.
Almost like he has the robot equivalent of Stockholm Syndrome?
A little bit. And just like also a lot of anxiety.
Okay.
One thing that's really interesting, that's not really a spoiler at all, but he has no interest in being human. I think a lot of AI android-esque books are always just like, I want to be more human. Instead, he really doesn't like the human parts of himself. He thinks they're kind of gross, which makes sense for like a robot brain.
Right.
To be like, why do I have to sweat? Why am I covered in hair? This is not good. It's gross. But people keep kind of assuming, like, oh, well, you must want to be human. And he's like, well, I don't want to be human. I just want to have rights. I don't want to be like you, though.
Right.
Yeah. But it's very much like an action novella. Like, you're learning a little bit in each book about his personality and how he interacts with people. But mostly you're following him on all of these weird adventures that kind of link together and tell you a little bit about this world that's owned kind of by like corporations. Like, corporations own certain planets and they have corporate espionage going on, but it's in the form of actual like murder and intrigue and they have political entities and non-corporate political entities in the novel, which is very interesting. The world is basically run by like corporations and nonprofits.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's go back to the robot in question. Does he think of himself as Murderbot?
He thinks of himself as Murderbot, but it's kind of a secret name. He doesn't tell everyone, one, because he knows what their reaction will be. Oh, he must want to murder. That's why he named himself Murderbot. It's less that and more. He has this part of his history that he doesn't really remember, where he was implicated in the death of a lot of humans. And he knows that he has the ability to kill. That's basically what he's made for. He's a security bot. So he calls himself Murderbot kind of to like remember that, but it's very weird because it's not like he's drawn to murder. He's just like, I'm just really good at it. That's how they made me.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
He also is addicted to television. He loves TV. It is an escape. He likes how fake it is, almost. Like, he doesn't have any, like, concerns about it. He doesn't like how sec units are portrayed because he's like, they just never get it right, man.
That's funny.
But it was just really funny to have this robot who's basically like, yeah, I'm kind of mad at humans because they made me this way and then basically, like, made me unable to do anything about it. And I could get revenge on the corporation who did this to me. Or I could finish watching the 8th season of XYZ television show and just keep living my life.
So it sounds like he's subscribed to the midlife apathy that so many of us do.
Basically. But it's really good for a short read where you're just interested in getting through it quickly, but still kind of, like, appreciating the characters and being introduced to, like, interesting new people in the world, but not having to, like, commit to a full, like, story. The arcs are very small because the books are very small, so it's nice to be able to get, like, a brief glimpse and then be like, that's over.
Yeah, I even heard that, like, the company he works for is actually called The Company.
Yes, he refers to it as The Company, and I think it has a different name. It's really hard because there are so many corporations.
Right.
But I think he calls it The Company, but it does have, like, an actual name. I cannot remember what it is, but there is another company that they go up against at one point. So they mention the name a few times later in the series, but he is always talking about it as The Company just because, I mean, he was, I don't know, a piece of equipment there for a long right. time, basically. So not a lot of good feelings about it. And he refers to it very, like, begrudgingly. He doesn't want to go anywhere where it is, which is very fair, because at that point, you know, he's worried about having to go back. But it's just really interesting, because he does start still employed with the company, so you kind of get to see him, like, in his previous habitat, like, how he would have had to act if he was actually operating under the same, like, constraints that other sec units are. And they do look human, which is always surprising to the other humans that employ them. They are basically, like, clone-grown type things, but with, like, extensive cybernetic replacements.
Software, kind of.
Yeah, like it's basically he's, like, 80% robot with, like, a human cover. Kind of. It's very weird. He still has, like, flesh organs. His brain is still, like, half human and, like, half computer. But yeah, the first time humans see his face, it makes them really uncomfortable, because the moment they see his face, they're like, oh no, we're being mean to a person, not just a robot. Because his suit is designed to make him look like a robot. Like, he has, like, a blank, like, helmet screen thing. Can't tell at all that he, like, grows hair, has eyeballs, like, all yeah. the things that would make you be like, oh no, we're bad people, I think. But all sec units actually look the same, which is really interesting. Like, it's basically, like, the clone army.
Okay. So kind of like the stormtroopers from Star Wars.
Yeah. Like underneath, they all look exactly the same.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did you get very much of a glimpse of, like, what his day was like before he parted ways with the company, or before he kind of gained some freedom?
Yeah, you do get a good glimpse. And one thing that's pretty humorous is, because he has such a high, like, operating speed, I guess, his day is mostly spent watching TV in his, like, little cubicle, like, storage area that he gets. And he prefers it that way. He does not like to be on the ship with the rest of the humans, because then they try to talk to him and it makes him very anxious. I keep saying anxious and I mean it. He has a pretty severe, like, anxiety disorder. But even when he's processing, like, watching what the humans are doing, making sure they're not, like, wandering into the wastes without their like, security equipment or anything, even when he's doing that, he's also watching the television at the same time, which is pretty funny, the idea of him multitasking in his little bunk bed. Like, an alert will go off and he'll be like, oh my god, they wandered off again.
How many other sec units are at his location?
There are no other at his location, but he does run into some throughout the series. Even in the first book, he runs into some of them. There are different levels of, like, robots, and he has different feelings towards each one. He's very, like, it's kind of, like, he understands that some, like, bot pilots, it's basically, like, a program in charge of running a ship. Like, it has some level of, like, the ability to respond to input, but it's not, as most people would think, sentient. So it's weird to see him interact with non-sec units, because he has a varying level of, like, pity and, like, distaste for them. Like, he feels bad that they don't know that they have a bad job, maybe.
Interesting.
That they're just like my job, moving the shuttle around, it's so nice. And it's just really interesting to see this, especially because you can always assume in sci-fi it's just a metaphor for, like, humans.
Right.
So the idea that he is kind of privileged, and that he has the ability to, like, he hacked out of his governor's module that, like, stops him. He is able to travel even if it's under the guise of still being employed by the company, and he's able to think for himself versus what he thinks of bots who still choose to be by humans, or ones that are still conscripted to be by humans. Like, it's his interactions with them are really interesting.
So how about you go ahead and kind of give us like a light overview of the very first novella?
Okay, so in the first novella, he is on a planet with a research group, and he doesn't know a ton about them. He doesn't really get, like, he gets basic bios of them just to be able to, like, tell them apart and figure out which job is which. But as per usual, they keep making bad decisions. Yeah, they're like, oh, this part of our map is kind of, like, weird and blurry. Let's go check it out. And he's just like, oh, my God. Okay, if you check it out, I have to go with you. And they're just like, what? No, you can't go with us. Like, you have to stay here and guard the facility. And he's like, if you are going in a strange vehicle on a strange planet to a strange location, I do have to go with you. I'm sorry. So it's basically him, like, babysitting these humans who he always views as, like, very impetuous and, like, never making level-headed decisions, which is pretty fair, probably considering the experience he's had with them. So you're trying to solve, like, a little bit of a mystery, but it's also kind of like an alien planet exploration novel. So you get some of that, like, ooh, strange environments, strange creatures, what's the mystery? But there's also this always overarching corporate conspiracy in all of the novels. Not necessarily, like, the kind that's, like, 600 pages long and you're, like, in depth with, like, intrigue and everything. Right. But you get this, like, sense that these people are operating on this small scale while corporations are just, like, trading their lives, like, left and right for no reason.
Right.
So it's a good combination of, like, interesting world building, but also just, like, this, like, fun space romp, like a nice adventure novel in space.
So does he ever form any sort of, I don't even really want to say relationship, but association with any other thing, whether it was a bot or a human?
He does, throughout the series, meet people that he forms relationships with. Most of them are kind of, like, reluctant because he really doesn't want to. He also just doesn't seem to understand for a while that you can, like, form a relationship with someone without being, like, this, like, weird lovey-dovey, like, thing.
Okay.
Not even, like, a romantic relationship, but just because you're friends with someone doesn't mean you have to be, like,
Affectionate
and, like, pour your secrets out to each other. So he is definitely more, like, interested in and staying with people who are very logical and, like, maybe, like, they can express their feelings, but, like, not too much.
Right.
And he does meet a few bots along the way that he becomes close to as well. But again, a lot of it is anxiety, but also he's, like, free to make his own choices for the first time, so he's kind of overwhelmed by the possibilities of the things that he is able to do. But he still likes his job. Like, he still likes being in the action. He doesn't want to sit down. He doesn't like being on planets. He wants to be, like, gallivanting throughout space. So it's almost, like, in the beginning, easier for him to continue working at this job because he's like, it is what I like. I just hate the people who are making me do it.
Right.
So it's interesting to see him figure out, like, how to do the thing he enjoys doing, but in a way where he is in charge of it and not someone else. And also try to figure out, like, oh, I can be close to people without, like, being like people on the TV show who are just, like, holding sobbing people in their arms. Because he is very, like, removed. It comes up a few times, so I'm just going to say it now. He is asexual. He does not even have the appropriate hardware.
Right.
So it's not only, like, not of interest to him, it's, like, very distasteful for him, especially because he doesn't like the human aspects of himself. So the idea of, like,
it's just icky.
Yeah, it's just icky to him, which is another reason he is avoiding, like, close relationships, because he just is like, I don't even want to deal with, like, the idea that you might, like, think that I am interested in you.
That's funny.
It is, yeah, especially because I think it's a different kind of protagonist, especially, like I said, for an android or any protagonist who someone realizes, like, oh, you have worth, and they're like, yes, I do, but I don't want to have worth because I'm like you. I want to have worth because I'm myself.
Yeah.
And that matters. Because I feel like a lot of times in sci-fi especially, they're using these metaphors for androids, like people discovering that they're human. And the point is, like, they're not, but that's okay. You can still think things are worthy even if they're not like you.
And even if they have completely different thought processes.
Yeah, then. Different thought processes, different value systems, like, especially for him because he's so logical, like, it unnerves a lot of people. But just because it unnerves you and you don't think it's, like, quote-unquote normal doesn't mean he is not just as valuable as other people on the team.
So tell me some differences between, like, the first book and then the latest full-length one.
Okay. So there is, you delve a lot more into the relationships of him with other people, which makes sense because he's been around for a few novellas now in the last book. So you get to see more of, like, the life that he's forming for himself, whereas the first novel is really him actually taking that first step to be like, you know what, I need to figure out a way to get myself out of this. So it's kind of like his baby's first step to like the fifth book, the novel, is him really being like, what do I want to choose for myself? I gave myself the ability to choose, and I think it's time for me to finally like actually make a decision about what I want my life to be. But you know, sprinkled with a lot of action, a lot of shooting, a lot of robots, a lot of murder. Nice. So don't let all my relationship talk make you think it's only about his internal struggles.
That's funny. How did you discover this book in the first place?
I had seen it around. My friends had read it and rated it on Goodreads. I had seen it on the shelf, and of course, you know, you see Murderbot Diaries and you're like, wow, that sounds interesting. I should read that. And then I think I saw a review by like Patrick Rothfuss or something on the page, and I was like, well, now I really have to read it because Patrick Rothfuss read it.
Fair.
And I think my boyfriend actually might have read it before me and then was like, oh, this is really good. I can't remember. But once I read the first one, because it's so quick to get through, but also just like so appealing to read about this kind of like android who is also bumbling, like,
yeah,
he's very good at his job, but literally anything outside of that, he's just like, there he talks a lot about his efficiency like levels, and anytime someone like tries to talk to him directly, he's just like, oh no, I'm not his efficiency levels drop, and he's just like, he has this internal struggle about like, what am I supposed to say, like, I don't know how to talk to these people,
like,
what do they want
highly
from me?
Specialized, this is, yes, outside that specialty.
Yes, basically, like, you can just do your own thing and I will watch you and tell you when you're making a mistake, thank you. So it was a really good series in that regard, and I'm glad I picked the first one up. It's such a small thing, like the novel and just the amount of time you have to dedicate to it. So I think it would be a good idea for anyone who enjoys like sci-fi. It's not really like a space opera. You're not going to get into like huge amounts of background and like some
political
of the
struggles. And
yeah,
like
you'll touch on it because it's a world, but that's not going to be the focus. So if you like something that is focused on one character, if you like a lot of action, adventure, if you like just cool, interesting people, there's even like humans who have tech augmentations, so if you like stuff like that too, if you like computers, because he it's not like hard sci-fi, he doesn't go deep into the computers, but the point is that he can kind of talk to them, so he has a lot of cool powers in that way. Kind of, I think the first one is literally like 125 pages. It is such a small like price to pay to see if you might like the series.
Yeah, that's like a long lunch.
Yeah, exactly. And it is available on audiobook as well. So if you're just like, I can't use my eyes for that long, that's okay. It is available. Someone's sweet voice will whisper those words in your ear.
Do you get a sense for how many different planets are involved, like, in this new universe?
You get a little bit of sense, less of how many are involved, but more about how they're set up. There's definitely, like, a cluster of them close together. The closer you get to the center, the more corporate control there is. And then the further you get out, it's more planets that have been, like, settled. Corporations basically use people like flags, where they just shuttle a bunch of people to a planet, and they're like, it's our planet now, our people are on it.
This is Spain 4.
Yes, exactly. And that's a big thing. Like, and oh, also a thread in this series is that there were like aliens, kind of. So there's like this weird like material left over sometimes. It's not necessarily like directly like aliens, like big spaceships, like in the planet, but like just weird materials that don't, I think they call them strange something, or that might just be me trying to do strange particles, but that's kind of like sprinkled in because that is something that corporations are very into, like they want to have it, but secretly because it is against the law. So that's another thing that's kind of like weirdly sprinkled in, is this like idea that there might be like aliens somewhere, or there might have been aliens somewhere,
but it was almost like this ancient civilization kind of.
Yeah, like it's weird even to say that because there's no like ruins really, like it's just kind of like these like thumbprints basically, like this. Okay. This idea that there are these like elements that just like mess up humans, like they're not here for humans, they don't work with humans, kind of like the idea if there was life, they could, it could be like maybe not a carbon-based life form,
right,
and it would just like we would be very incompatible,
right,
kind of that, because they do have to terraform a lot of planets, you know, that's a thing that they talk about a few times, like it's basically uninhabitable, you throw a little terraforming bomb in there and then you send those poor probably contracted people to live there to claim your planet for you so no one else can take it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's real bad. It doesn't, definitely don't read this if you're super into corporations, because they don't, it doesn't shed a good light on possible futures for corporations in space.
Interesting.
So if you're a big, like, SpaceX fan, maybe not. Or maybe you'll be like, SpaceX is different. It's okay. They won't be this mean in space.
That's funny.
But yeah, I would definitely say go for it to almost anyone. Like, there's violence, but it's not...
It's kind of more like action violence. Or...
Yeah, it's action violence. None of it is like particularly cruel. Like, it's people fighting for their lives. It's not necessarily just hurting people to hurt people. So if that's something that puts you off, but you're okay with like general action, I think this would be okay for you. He does get beat up a little bit, but spoilers, he survives the first book.
I mean, I would hope so.
Just so you know.
Otherwise it'd be a little short.
The other ones are just Murderbot memoirs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely give it a try because it's such an easy read.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for bringing us an interesting new installment to check out.
Of course.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.